My name is Nicole Holloway. I am 16 years old. Today is May the 6th, Sunday, and I'm speaking with Kelly Muscaro, who is my mom. We are recording this interview in Pace, Florida. Okay, so the first question is, what's your best childhood memory?
Okay. The truth is, when I think about this, I'm not sure what it says, but it was really hard to think of a best childhood memory, and I couldn't think of one that involved my family. Really, because we lived in a neighborhood where it was like two big circles of houses. And then we were in the bottom circle, and all our friends, like every kid that was around there, we all hung out together. It was probably like a dozen, 15 kids. Me and my brother had the same friends. So we all hung out together, and we would play like this game called Jailbreak at night. So it was dark outside, and we used the whole neighborhood. It's like an older version of hide and seek.
Oh, okay.
And we used the whole neighborhood to hide in. People's backyard. Things you couldn't do today, because we would hide in people's backyards.
Yeah.
Like, we would hide all over. And then, so that's just being with our friends at that time. That was probably the best part of childhood.
Yeah. If I recall, I saw your childhood home. Like, when we went back to Kentucky where you live, you drove us past it.
We were in the very back of that circle.
Okay.
Like, as far back as you could be, the bottom of the circle. Yeah.
Fun. Okay, what role does love and affection play in your life?
I mean, it plays a big role in anyone's life.
Hopefully, yeah.
Because I feel like the two central things of the most importance of life is love and money.
Yeah. They dictate a lot. You know
that saying, love and money makes the world go round?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Okay.
So it's very important, but I'm affectionate, dependent on the person. Like, you do not like affection. But I would, of course, hug you all the time. And, but I'm not physically affectionate with your dad, because that's romantic affection kind of irritates me. But affection with, like my brother, my parents, you and Anthony, that's a big for me.
Because
I don't like romantic
affection. Okay, so have you always not liked romantic affection throughout your life?
Yes, always, yeah.
How has that, like, gone through? Because most people like romantic affection, so, like, when you're dating someone, how do you be like, oh, I don't want to hold hands,
No, in the beginning, In the beginning, it's normal where you can't get enough of each other, you always want to hold hands.
Oh, okay.
But then as the relationship progresses into something more even, where it's not so obsessive, that obsessive beginning, then I don't need that or like that.
You're good, like, independently.
Hug, kiss, you know, whatever.
Okay.
No, I don't need obsessive amounts of, in fact, don't.
Did you get a lot of love and affection in your, like, childhood? And do you think that played into why you don't like love and affection now or in your life?
We were probably on the normal scale for affection. Well, that's complicated, I guess. Love was very complicated thing in our house. And you know most of that. Yeah, I was...
But you were still affectionate.
No, we didn't, like, hug and... No, not really. But I never noticed it in a way like, oh, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just was. We were more affectionate with Dad.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
Yeah.
He's great.
But we weren't like hugging each other.
Yeah.
No. We showed affection through joking. Mm-hmm. That was affection. Joking was affection. Mm-hmm. Sarcasm, joking with each other. That was how we showed love. Mm-hmm. We didn't say I love you.
Yeah, well, from a personal experience, I can say
that.
We
didn't hug each other.
That has carried through your entire life.
As your child. That's how we learned what love. That, to us, was love. So, that's what we continue, which I guess is not really a normal family.
I guess. So, you would say that, yes, subconsciously, if, like, before you knew it or not, that, like, your upbringing, your childhood, and the love that affection had played in it has affected, like, the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would say just one more like what normal people would describe as affection was not present for us. But we felt like it felt affectionate because that was our form of affection.
Gotcha.
So that's why we didn't feel like, or I didn't feel like, oh no, we weren't affectionate. We were, just not in the way most people, like,
the way
hugs.
Society presents
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like physical, I love you, and, oh, give me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was humor, which was good for it.
Okay.
It was a good
thing. Speaking of your childhood, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood, what you were like as a child as well?
Oh, well, I was the favorite child, which probably influenced how I saw myself, because I was seen as the good child.
Mm-hmm.
Until maybe teenage years.
Ah, got you.
Or until my brother was kicked out. I was pretty much me, but... Well, no, I was much more outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a lot of friends, and... I was fairly cute, and... I was smart. I did well in school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they switched me to a advanced school in fifth grade. So I was really smart and but kind of quiet, too. Like, my favorite thing was to read. I would just sit down with a book, read, color. I wanted to be a teacher. That's really what I wanted to do. It was pretty normal, what you would normally think a kid would be.
Do you think a lot of those attributes, like how you would characterize yourself as a child, is similar now? Because you said you...
No, only in the broadest of terms.
Okay.
Like, I did well in school. Mm-hmm. I still, when I went back to college, I still do well in school. I'm not as outgoing as I was still, no, I'm still kind of the same, but now there's more anxiety that gets in the way of maybe how I was. Like, I was,
that makes sense.
I was quiet then, I'm quiet now, but I still like,
you more free spirited back then, like you would just do stuff and now you think a lot about it before you do it.
I was more capable of I was kind of like you. Everywhere I went, I made friends. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm not going to make any friends. You just make friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was,
just natural for you.
Yeah. But now there's just, I'm pretty much the same person, but with adult stuff piled on.
Okay. So what was your biggest fear, or what is currently still your biggest fear, and have you faced it?
I thought about this one. There are two things that come to mind.
Oh, okay.
One, just as a parent, automatically your biggest fear becomes something happening to your kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like you or Anthony dying.
Yeah.
That's the... But... I have coping mechanisms for that fear, so it doesn't, like, you know, I don't go, like, I'm not
A hovering parent.
Locking you all in the house. Yeah. And so you have... But
could you describe your coping mechanisms? Like, what do you do to help suppress it or, like, tell yourself that, oh, that's not logical all the time?
No, you just think, no, if I tell them this, you know, how to be safe, and I just know there are things I can do, and the odds are slim that you all are going to die, and if we take precautions, and, like, with you, you have a good head on your shoulders... So you tell these things to yourself that may be complete lies,
okay,
but they make you feel better, you know?
I think it's like the air conditioning. Rip.
What? It's not going to...
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. I'm okay. Positive. Yeah.
Just want to be as professional as I can.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to... My actual fear that I have no coping mechanism for is my fear of heights.
Do you have a fear of heights?
It's terrifying.
Oh, yeah, the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, unsecured heights. It's a it makes me panic.
I guess I have no way
to cope with it. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to the Grand Canyon, and for me, heights is not a big deal at all. I was like, fun, let me look over the edge. Let me swing my feet. Let me, like, play with the crumbling rocks.
And I almost started to cry.
Yeah, you freaked out. I think this is the first time I've seen you, like, and freak out.
Before we went the second time, I asked Anthony, please don't.
Yeah.
And he said, okay. And it was, I even had the same reaction watching strangers go too close. It was the same panic.
Yeah.
So it's a, I have zero coping mechanisms.
Definitely didn't get that from you.
Which is, was extremely terrifying.
Okay. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life and how you got over that, dealt with that, and how it still affects you today? If you're willing to share said deep information, you know, you could go on a more lighter level.
Deep information is also your information.
Oh, okay. Well, we can be honest here, so I'm fine with it. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. There were 2 days that came to mind.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Oof. I cry easily. Okay. Is it going to be sad?
No. Oh,
okay.
Whew. No, because when I was thinking about it, I honestly think that the most difficult days I'll have experience haven't happened yet.
What?
Yeah, because to me, like, even that day when I had to take you to the hospital, yes, that was the worst day, but it was also not the worst day because you weren't dead. So we're in the hospital, but we're in the hospital. It could have been worse.
Yeah.
The other incident that came to mind was when your dad, when we had that incident with, and your dad, he got in a fight with that guy.
Oh.
And it could have ended his career. That was a real dark moment. But we got through it. So once you get through the difficult things, to me, the hardest thing will be when something happens that you can't move on from, like death, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Losing, I haven't been touched by close death. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, but that doesn't, it's like, oh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't alter my life in any grand way.
Yeah.
But when my mom or dad, they die.
Yeah.
My brother, you, Anthony, your dad.
Yeah.
Any of those.
Sam, our dog.
Oh, Sam, that'll be hard. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've never even lost a pet. I mean, as a kid, but it doesn't affect you as a child. As, like, we had to put our cat to sleep, but...
Oh, my God, when we had to put our cat to sleep, Mindy, I was so sad.
We didn't really put her to sleep, though. We just had to... We couldn't take her overseas, so we took her to the animal shelter. Yeah. So, technically, we could fool ourselves and say, oh, I bet she didn't die.
No, I didn't.
Well, and it was sad for me. I cried dropping her off.
Yeah.
But then you move on. The really hard things are the things you can't fix or move on from, mm-hmm. or make something good out of what just happened that was bad.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay, so they're, like, yet to come. How does that affect you?
But I also think the greatest moments haven't happened either.
It's quite positive.
Yeah.
Well, how does that affect you, like, going forward, like, day to day? Like, are you, like, so, like, not, you, it's inevitable and eventual for everyone's life that their parents or people they love will die before
them. I do think about my parents, because that's the most...
Close.
Yeah, that's the closest thing that I know it's going to happen.
There's no buds or oars about it.
Yeah, unless I die first, which I'll have no worries, because I'll be dead.
Yes.
Yeah, I think about it, not a lot, but... often enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's no way to prepare. I just know it's going to be terrible.
Let's see.
And, yeah. I don't deal with change well.
Mm-hmm. Which is ironic.
I adapt quickly, but it feels really hard and overwhelming while I'm having mm-hmm. to adapt. So losing I can't even, I'm not too optimistic about how I'll emotionally
deal with that.
Yeah, how I'll move through that. Okay. Yeah.
Well then. Speaking of just, like, people in your life and dealing with it, like, who has had one or two people, like, the biggest influence in your life?
I think the person who changed my life the most is my middle school best friend.
Whoa, sure.
Her name is Leslie Smith.
Okay.
I still kind of know what she's doing because of Facebook, mm-hmm. but that's kind of irrelevant to this
question. I
did not
know she existed, so.
Yeah, she, I'd say she shaped who I am,
mm-hmm.
like my political ideas,
mm-hmm.
my ideas about, you know, social issues, all of that, the way I view... Just the way I view the world.
Mm-hmm.
She had a bigger influence on me than my parents did.
How old were you at the time?
Anthony's age.
Oh,
so
okay,
13. 13. But we were friends until my mom basically banned me from ever seeing her again. So sometime in high school. Maybe sophomore year,
mm-hmm.
we had no contact.
Mm-hmm.
But she came back to me a couple years later, knocked on the door, hadn't seen her in years. And I think she was going through a 12-step program, honestly, because she came to, like, make amends.
Yeah.
Like, apologize.
One of the steps.
Yeah. Even though I didn't think she had anything to apologize for. But I listened to her apology.
So how did she... Instead, like, infected, and you, like, can you give, like, specific examples? Like, how was it? Was it just spending time with her and her views, like, kind of, like, flowed into
you?
Yeah,
she was much more,
open-minded,
Yeah, she was very, which I wouldn't have called it that then,
mm-hmm.
but she was very liberal and open mm-hmm. and accepting of
loving.
Everyone
mm-hmm.
like, you know,
LGBTQ, stuff like that.
Yeah, she had a really good friend at school who
mm-hmm.
was gay. His name was Ira.
Nice
name. I know, right? He's very flamboyant
mm-hmm.
but so cool. But at the same time, you know, that doesn't fit in. She dated a guy who really identified as a neo-Nazi.
Oh, well, okay. That's
very
a juxtaposition.
Scary, but we were still friends with him, and, like...
Okay.
Isn't that
That's
strange?
Weird, I guess.
She was the most interesting person
mm-hmm.
I've ever
mm-hmm.
met. And
okay.
From what I gather, I think she's still that way. She's a defense lawyer.
Fun! That's a great job.
In Louisville, yeah. She's still very much the same, like...
Mm, person.
She's, yeah, she's...
Mm-hmm. And at that point, your
yeah.
parents were conservative, so, like, you didn't grow
no,
up?
No, my parents
or...
didn't teach us anything. So, we were I was basically a blank slate.
Oh, so she really...
They
like...
didn't teach us... They didn't go one way or the other.
Oh,
they didn't
okay.
say...
Pretty neutral?
Yeah, they just didn't say anything about any of that.
Okay.
They just did parenting things. They didn't teach us about the world or give us their views. We didn't know their views.
Gotcha.
So I was blank.
And she...
So when she came...
Drew all over you.
Yeah,
because
you're in that adolescent phase where you're searching for your identity and you're learning. And she was there at exactly that time.
Gotcha.
And therefore, she was the one that kind of helped me find, like, that is what I, you know. Yeah, so she shaped that whole liberal...
Do you miss her? Like, do you ever want to get back in contact with her?
I did send her a Facebook message, when we were living in Oakey.
Oh, okay, wow.
I was Yeah, and I found out her little brother got killed in a drunk driving accident.
Oh.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously I remember him. I spent a lot of time with her family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was over there more than I was at my house. Mm-hmm. We went on vacations together. We were best friends. Yeah, so we messaged each other, like, twice, and then...
Just faded off?
Yeah, I mean, I was overseas, and...
Well, what about now, since we're back on the mainland?
I don't know, with... I have you all, and it's very... It's consuming, so I'm really not good at keeping in touch and doing all that, and... It takes a lot of work, and I feel like I'm just too lazy to do that.
Okay, big mood.
Yeah, so.
Okay, I relate hardcore. Okay. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
To not give a crap about boys.
Boys? So that had a real big influence?
It changed my life in every way, and almost ruined my life in every way.
Oh, okay.
Things would be much different.
Do you regret
that? The only thing that mattered was boys.
Oh, so you were the stereotypical hormonal teenager?
Yes. I lost a really good friendship.
Oh, my.
Because I picked my boyfriend.
Ah.
Yeah, I was like, no, I just want to be with him and no one else. And
can't relate.
Yeah. Yes, that's why I'm so... Yeah. It was the only thing that mattered. Mm. So
like tunnel vision?
I forgot about the entire rest of life that should matter.
Okay.
Like, I dropped out of college because of a boy. Tom.
Oh, yes. That guy.
Yeah.
So your life is very dictated by, like, your next boyfriend and...
Yes. I ruined all my potential.
Because of boys.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you couldn't be alone? Like, did you not want to be by yourself?
Yeah, I was never alone.
Oh.
Yeah. I always had my next boyfriend
lined up
before I got rid of that other boyfriend. Yeah.
Looking back, do you think it was just, like, deep insecurity about yourself or, like, the fear of the future and being alone? Like, why do you think you always needed someone there to be with you?
Well, probably because when your own mother doesn't... Mm-hmm. You're already, as a kid, you're already supposed to know what it feels like to be unconditionally loved,
and,
right?
Yeah, and you weren't, so you...
No, so you got a... Every kid, child, you need that. Every person needs that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have it,
mm-hmm.
you go looking for it.
Mm.
And so I looked for it, which is... You can't get unconditional love anywhere from your parents.
Yeah.
You really can't. Because, I mean, I love your dad,
mm-hmm.
but there is stuff he could do where I would no longer love him.
Yes.
But with your child, if it's the way it should be, there is nothing. Like, there is nothing you and Anthony could do.
So I could murder someone?
I would hide a body for you, yes.
If I murdered dad, you'd be like, oh, I still love you?
Yes.
If I tried to murder you, you would still love me?
Yes.
Okay, that's...
I would be very angry. I mean, you would still have normal emotions, but I would still visit you in prison or give you money to escape. Well, if you murdered me, it might be a little bit different. If you tried to murder me, I don't know. But,
okay, so what if, like, just a game. So if I was, like, in your opinion, the worst person ever, I was so far right, I was a Nazi, which I'm not, for the record, but if there's this horrible, horrible person, you'd still love me?
I would still love you. It doesn't mean I would
agree or...
Yeah, I wouldn't, like, enable you or... But there would never be a point where I would... I'd be done.
And so you never felt that way as a child, so you kept looking for
it. No, me and my brother, no. Absolutely, it's been proven again and again. We are loved...
But to a
if we do A, B, and C. Otherwise, she will cut us out.
Oh, okay.
We know we are not unconditionally loved. Mm-hmm, okay. She doesn't know how to do that, so, yeah.
Okay, so changing the channel a little bit, getting away from childhood and now more on the future, what's it like being on the other side of me?
Of you?
Yes, see, me, the interviewer, her daughter.
What's it like? Like, being your mother?
It's just, like, what's it like being on the other side of me? You can look at it from any standpoint. You can look at it from different, many types of views. You can go, because, you know, I came out of you, so you can go from that aspect, or you could go from more of a world view. Whatever speaks to you.
It's a good... You're, like, a really good mirror. Like...
I'm intrigued.
In a lot of ways, we're alike.
Mm-hmm, see.
But we're different enough to where... You make me reflect on myself.
Mm-hmm.
You're perhaps one of the only people that can criticize me. And... I will listen and think about it, take into account, and change if I need. You know, I will...
Adapt.
Yeah. Most people think that, like, the parent and the child relationship is, I'm the parent, I teach you everything, you do this, you do that, I'm in charge, I'm the teacher, you're the student.
Yeah.
Forever. But... It's been my experience that your kids can teach you, if you let them, if you're open to it, your kids can teach you almost as much as you can teach them.
Okay.
I don't take criticism. I'm the worst. I cannot take criticism.
I can account for that.
Yes, but you do it anyway.
Yes.
And it has changed.
News to me.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So then, if you were to die today with no contact to the world, what would be your biggest regret, to whom or to what? So you couldn't call someone and say, hey, I love you and I never told you that, or you just, you'd be gone and...
No.
It's too deep.
I wouldn't have any regrets about... people not knowing I love them.
Okay.
I feel like everyone knows.
Okay.
I would regret dying while you two still had to be with just your dad. Because I don't...
He's not much of a parent. Yeah.
No, I don't trust him... to nurture you all
He couldn't even brush Anthony's teeth. Sorry.
Yeah, that would be my biggest fear upon dying, that I hadn't finished you all enough that you know, your dad was just a guy you could, hey dad, I'm coming to visit, not you're dependent on him still.
So that would be one of your biggest regrets. But what about, like, previously in your life? Like, if there's something, like, you wish you just could have done differently, or something even now, like, go back to work or find, or, like, you know, like, not date that one person or go to that one place.
There's a lot of those.
Okay.
Because now that I know, the thing with most people don't really know who they are until they're in their 30s or 40s.
Yeah, that's
scary. And you figure out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody kind of, they're like, you know how people say, I wish I knew then what I know now. Yeah, that's where the regret comes in.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably 100 different things, little to big, that I would not, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then people make themselves feel better by saying, well, all those things led me to right here, and they use their children. I wouldn't have my children if I hadn't made all those mistakes. I think that's kind of crap. Mm-hmm. If I could go back, I would change all those things.
Yeah.
But my only biggest regrets now are parenting mistakes really are hard. They bother me a lot. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's not just your life. You have now possibly screwed up someone else's life.
And so then domino effect, someone else's.
Yeah, so those are
hard to...
The personal regrets, I mean, what are you going to do?
Okay, yeah. Okay, do you feel content with your life right now?
No, kind of.
If I can say something just for, like, the record, I ask this question very specifically because I always feel like you're not. If that sounds weird, but, like, I just always can, I don't know if it's right, but, like, I can just always tell or feel that you're not, like, happy and you're not living to, like, your fullest potential. Does that make sense?
It does, and I'm not, but I'm not, it's my fault, so, no, I'm not fully happy, and I think only because I'm not working. I'm doing my job, you know, here, and that was a choice, and I'm glad I wouldn't go back and, well, maybe I would. Honestly, maybe I would have gone back and I wouldn't get out of the Marine Corps.
Yeah, you said that before.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to rejoin as me and Anthony are older, or...
Yeah, you can't. It's past. I couldn't rejoin.
Oh.
But I definitely wanted... I wish I was doing something to help others outside. Because even from little, even wanting to be a teacher, because you're helping, you're influencing other people, you're helping. I'd like to... That, I think, would go a long way in.
Well, do you have any plans in the future to do that? Because you've gotten your college degree. Like, are you wanting to work?
Well, one, I think a lot about fostering kids.
I'm for them. Love a good.
That's a big thing. And then I'd like to work with veterans. Because obviously the military is something I love. But even... I mean, you'd be shocked. Like, even doing customer service can bring, you know, like, helping anybody.
Oh, okay.
Like, it brings a lot of happiness to help other people.
You think,
even in small ways. It doesn't have to be huge.
So you think by that it would give you some contentness to your life?
Yeah. You know, they say that when people retire, people who retire and stop working die much faster than people who continue to have some sort of job.
Yeah.
Purpose is it's a big thing that determines whether we're happy or not. If we feel like we have a purpose.
A reason.
Okay. Yeah, something to do.
So are you, like, looking for jobs, or are you interested in
it? No, because I don't, I'm not sure I wanted to do that while you and Anthony are still here.
Oh, okay.
So I still think it's beneficial for me to be so available to you all.
Well, I'm currently 16. I'll be going to college hopefully soon. Anthony, he's 13. He's kind of getting there. Do you plan to then get a job or something after we move out?
Yes. Or else I think I would lose my mind.
Okay, well, don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I turn out the way you thought and or hoped I would?
Well, to me, you're not at... You're still in the middle. You're not even... You haven't turned out at all yet.
There's... Yeah, so, but, you know, 16, still an age.
Well, originally I wanted you to be a tomboy.
Yes,
so that didn't happen. Mm-hmm,
very not true.
No, you're at this point, you're better than I could have asked for.
Thank you.
And the things that aren't are really not your fault. There's the regret thing. I wish I could go back and change that whole Nashville. I would change that for you. But no, you are. Yeah, all those great things from when you were little, you are still that.
Elaborate.
You're very, like audacious, opinionated, sassy, but in an intelligent way. Yeah, as of now, yes, you are everything. But there's so much left, it's hard to...
You're only
16.
Re-ask you this question later. Speaking of just family and life and love and affection, do you believe in soulmates?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. I was expecting the opposite answer. Can I get a why?
I don't believe you always find them.
Oh, okay.
Or sometimes you... Life... circumstances you let that person go or yes, but I absolutely do believe in soulmates.
Do you believe you found your soulmate or no?
Not in the past and not currently now.
There's one person, but it was just circumstances. There was no way, like he was going that way and I was going this way. But no, other good matches, but soulmate, no, I definitely have not found a soulmate.
Are you upset about that? Do you want to still look in the future? Like
it would be not. I'm not as upset as I used to be, just because your dad and I are in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Okay, so speaking of... dad and stuff like that, if it wasn't for me and Anthony, would you still be with dad?
Right now, yes.
Okay.
Like, if you and Anthony were already, y'all were gonna move out tomorrow, yeah, your dad and I would stay together.
Okay.
If you had asked me any time in the past decade, the answer would have 100% been no.
Do you think it was worth it?
Yeah, I think it was better, and it's not always the case that it's better if you stay together, but in this case I think it was better for you and Anthony that we stayed together. So yeah, it was worth it just for you all.
Is there anything you want to ask me that you have never asked me before? Turning down the tables, do you want to ask me a question?
No, I really I could not think of anything.
Something I did a long time ago. Nothing. You're not curious about anything.
You told me about a lot of that stuff you did. You're very vocal. It's not like I don't know your opinions on... No, I think as a grown-up, yeah, there'd be things I would ask you. But, yeah, when you have more perspective, like the ability to look back, yeah, there are things I'd like to ask you, maybe.
Okay,
about
feel free to ask, I guess, in a decade.
Can
you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned in your life?
You know, one of the most recent ones. One, there's a lot of, you learn a lot of lessons.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of lessons in life. It's really whether you take the time to learn from them, mm-hmm. which a lot of people don't, which is why they're still the same person they were mm-hmm. in high school, or they never became better mm-hmm. or nicer, or, you know.
Yeah.
So some people don't learn from all the lessons. There's one very practical one and one more kind of philosophical. Mm-hmm. The practical one is financially, because mm-hmm. it's love and money, mm-hmm. right? So money gives you space to be able to look for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Credit, you have to treat very responsibly.
No, trust me, I learned that from you guys quite
yes.
nicely.
If you don't have the cash to pay for it,
don't buy
you can't afford it.
Okay.
Don't buy it.
Okay.
You need to establish credit,
mm-hmm.
but you need to be very careful.
Okay.
Because it feels like free money,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, and it can really negatively affect you years down the road.
What negatively affected you?
Like, when we started, we're like, oh, credit cards.
Uh-huh.
This is $5,000 I didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy all these things you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, but because I only have to pay $50
yeah.
a month. You don't really grasp that you'll be paying $50 a month for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just to pay off that coat that you bought.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then this one is, I'm just, you know, I started it off kind of easy, and this one's
the... Oh, wait. The one other, because
okay.
the other big lesson.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the expression, don't sweat the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's always been, yeah, don't sweat the small stuff. But the other part of that I not too long ago saw... like an addendum to that
mm-hmm.
was it's all small stuff. That really changed the dynamic of between your dad and I.
Because
he does so much stuff.
Yeah.
So I try to look at the big picture
mm-hmm.
and to not sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff.
Okay.
If you think of, like, the majority of things we spend time mad about, it's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We should just
move
yeah.
on.
The majority of life is small stuff.
Okay. So, like I was saying, so I started off kind of easy, and this one's definitely probably the most, like, deep and personal one, so you can feel free not to answer it, because we're almost done here, but do you love your mom, even with who she is and how she treats people, and if so, how and why? Because personally, this is something I've never understood. I don't get it. I'm in the mindset of, like, I don't care who you are, if you treat me like shit, I'm going to cut you off and out, but... I just, so like, I really don't get it.
Yeah. Yes, I love her. I don't like her.
Okay.
But I love her. And probably in equal measures, I love her for me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's something I need.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love her because I feel like everyone deserves to be loved. Like,
okay.
I can see, you know, I understand the explanations for her behavior, why
mm-hmm.
she is the way she
mm-hmm.
is, which doesn't excuse it,
mm-hmm.
but it explains it, and she did horribly, but I think she did the best she could.
Okay.
And I love her for me. She's my mom, and
mm-hmm.
I do want her in my life, so I chose to love her. I mean, Kevin went the opposite way.
Yeah.
I also feel like I'm kind of all she has.
Mm-hmm. So in the way, like, you don't want to do to her what she's does to other people, like, with, like, depriving of the love and treating them badly.
Yeah, somehow I learned to unconditionally love I don't know even, I don't really can't explain how that happened since I didn't have an example of it. But I'm kind of giving her what she couldn't give us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I personally.
Like, and what? She's not, like, she's not a monster.
No.
She's not...